From the moment Jesus stepped up out of the baptismal waters on the banks of the Jordan River, the Spirit of God was upon him. And he preached good news. In other words, Jesus demonstrated the universal values of the kingdom of God. What God is truly like. How God truly loves. How God views humankind. How God wants humankind to view God. And how God wants the human race to treat each other and one another. And the kingdom of God was preached and demonstrated in such a way that people wanted to know more. When they first heard, they may not have been convinced that it was true, but hearing the message and seeing the message the way it should have been seen and the way it should have been heard, they knew it was good. And when we, and when people understand what Jesus came to offer, when they understand what God is truly like, when they understand that Jesus was as close to understanding God as we're going to get in this life, that in fact, he is the perfect representation of God. When we and when they understand this, they're going to want to know more. They're going to want it to be true. Because it truly is good news. And so if you've ever experienced a version of the faith that wasn't good news, then it wasn't what Jesus originally shared. Because the original version of the gospel that Jesus preached was good news of great joy for all people. For example, the stories in our Bible, the stories of the New Testament, they were shared from person to person and from generation to generation until they were finally written down for us to hold on to and for us to emulate. And they explain the Old Testament and they reveal the goodness of God's message. And it was good news for them. And it's good news for me. And it's good news for you. Because it's good news for all. How good was it? It was good news. It was real good. It was good news of great joy for all people. And here's what I mean. It was so good that forgiveness of sin would be announced ahead of time. That you could ask God for forgiveness and be forgiven. You didn't have to sacrifice any more animals. You didn't have to raise up a small lamb and love on it and care for it and then take it and have it slaughtered. And you didn't have to work for it. And you didn't have to work through the whole system of shame and guilt to get forgiveness. But not only was it good news, it was brand new news. And for some, it was disturbing news. For some, it was even dangerous news because that made the government and the religious authority nervous. I mean, people had laws. They had traditions. They had complete financial systems set up for this purpose. This news made the entire temple and sacrificial system in Jerusalem, made it antiquated. And really, it removed the need for such systems anywhere. And later on, as a catalyst of the Reformation, such a system would get the church in trouble. But that's another story for another day. But in our scripture today, wherever Jesus went, wherever Jesus taught, crowds followed, and they pressed in on him just to hear what he had to say. Because people wanted to believe that this good news, they wanted to believe it and know what he was teaching was not only good, but true. In fact, Luke tells this crazy story of what happens one day when Jesus is teaching. Basically, they're having a worship service at this wealthy guy's house, and the house is packed. The main room where Jesus is, they're gathered all around, and they're pressed in all around him. And then they're all in the next room, and they're all out the front door and out by the windows and on the front porch and on the back patio. I mean, they're even out on the sidewalk. It's kind of like that Garth Brooks concert a couple weeks ago. People were pressed in, and they could not get any more people in. But while Jesus is teaching, some guys bring their buddy who can't walk, and they're trying to get him to Jesus. And they're trying to press their way in, and they're trying to get through, but they can't fit. It's too crowded. And so they go next door, and carrying their friend, they climb up the ladder, and they get up on the roof. And the whole way, they're carrying their buddy on this cot, kind of like a hammock. And they get up on top of the roof, and they're carrying the buddy, and the houses are very close together, so they cross over to the roof of the house where Jesus is teaching, and they get over the main room, and they start peeling back the roof, the clay tiles, and digging through the thatch. And if you would imagine, like, if it was a roof today, they would start peeling back the shingles and then the felt underlayer, and then they would start knocking through the plywood under roof, and then finally digging through the insulation and breaking through the drywall. Either way, it's going to make a huge mess. And Jesus is teaching in the main room. And he hears this noise, and he looks up, and dust and drywall and insulation begin to fall. Suddenly, there's a ray of light piercing through the ceiling, kind of like a spotlight. And the light gets brighter and brighter as the hole gets bigger and bigger. Then all of a sudden, there's this whole man coming down out of the ceiling. A guy is literally dropping out of the ceiling. And as the friends are lowering their buddy there to lay him in front of Jesus, Jesus looks at them and says, "What are you doing? Don't you know, don't ye know that we have another service after this? Come back in an hour." Now imagine as they were lowering the man down, the homeowner is regretting having this gathering. But it gets quiet in that room. And somehow they make space for this guy who's laying on this cot. And the crowds are pressed in around him. And now you have to realize that this crowd is full of wealthy people, influential people, religious people, the people in town that really matter, that can afford to get the best seats and be right in there next to Jesus. But it includes teachers of the laws and some of the Pharisees, a special type of devout religious leader. And they've come from all around Galilee and even the capital city of Israel in Jerusalem. And they're there to check out this Jesus. They want to hear from him too. They're curious about this strange new rabbi and this teaching and what he has to say, because there's rumors that he's teaching things that no one has ever taught before. That he's making promises about God that are in conflict with the way that they view and taught about God and how they perceived God to really be. And perhaps, maybe one of the reasons that you have or you know someone who has wrestled with their faith is because somebody presented a version of God other than what Jesus presented to his first century followers. And if that's you, then don't miss this. Hear what Jesus has to say. Jesus looks down at the man lying on the cot in front of him, and he says the strangest thing. Looking him in the eye, Jesus says, "Anthropos sou amortai ephemai," which literally means, "Hey man, your sins are gone." Yet I love how we have this tradition of translating it like this. He said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven. Jesus calls him friend. And before anyone says anything, Jesus offers him forgiveness. To which I wonder if the guy looked up at him and said, "Yeah, but that's not why I'm here." Friend, your sins are forgiven. He hadn't even asked. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they're gathering around, they start to mumble to one another, and they're losing their minds. Wait, wait, wait! You can't do that. You can teach fun stories on the hillside and parables that none of us really understand. I mean, yeah, all that's fine and good, yeah. But and you can say, blessed are these and those people. Yeah, yeah, that's great. But you can't forgive sins. Only God has the power to forgive sin. Only God can forgive sin. To which Jesus responds, "That is true, but who here can heal a paralyzed man?" And what he's saying is basically, who can heal other than God? And then Jesus asks him, which is easier, to forgive sins or to heal this man? And then Jesus says this next thing for them, and for you and for me, and Luke records it for all generations so that we could all know this and pass it down. Jesus says, "I want you to know that the human one or the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin." And I can imagine as he was saying that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were responding, but we have this whole system for that. We have an entire temple built for that. We have a ceremonial law just for that. We have a sophisticated system that people have to work through in order to get forgiveness. In other words, you can't just announce that someone is forgiven. You can't just remove their sin. But Jesus did. And to punctuate his authority, he said to the young man, "Pick up your mat and walk." And the man did. And he went home praising God the whole way. And the people were in awe. And that is good news. This is good news. And this was new news. And today, this is good news for me, and it's good news for you, it's good news for all of us in here, and it's good news for everyone out there. See, when it comes to sin, we all know people, and we might be one of those people who don't do guilt and who don't do shame, who don't believe in sin. I get it. And what that confirms to me is that we're all the same, because they're all just guilty sinners. We'll talk more about that here in a couple of weeks. But the reality is Jesus didn't do guilt and shame either. He did tell us to go and not sin anymore. But then he did forgive us our sins. And he did give his life on the cross for our sin. Perhaps this begs the question about this young man. Was he crippled because of his sin? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe he just needed to hear he was forgiven. Maybe he blamed himself for his condition. Maybe at one time he thought he deserved to be paralyzed. He may have been born that way. It may not have been his fault. Who knows? I mean, he may have been hit in a hit-and-run horse and chariot accident. But how often do we blame ourselves for the bad things that happen to us, even when it's not our fault? Maybe it is your fault. Maybe it's not. But Jesus says, you ask, I answer. Your sins are forgiven. He is ready to forgive your sins before you even ask. And right now, he is ready to welcome you back into his presence before you even ask. And he is waiting for you, and he is inviting you into the kingdom of God. And through his life, death, and resurrection, he took away our sin and showed us that he had power over our brokenness, sin, death, and even hell. And now he's inviting us and he's inviting you into a new life, a risen life. He's inviting you to get up and to walk and to take that next step. He's inviting you to make life better and to make you better at life through Jesus Christ. And that's good news. See, the original version of the good news was compelling. The original version was worth telling, and so it was told, and people listened, and people believed that it was good news and that it was true. And they believed, meaning they lived and they died for the truth of the good news, which is why we are even here today. And the good news for you and for me and for everyone is that it doesn't matter how many times we failed in the past or the depth of our sin or the magnitude of our mess up, Jesus has the power to forgive and heal. And he has come to do both. So receive Jesus' forgiveness. Let Jesus heal you. And then share the good news of what Jesus has done for you so that others may come to him and they too can experience the good news of his healing and forgiveness. Amen.